Okay, welcome back to episode 184. Happy New Year, Joe.
Happy New Year to you, Tim. How was your New Year?
Oh, good. We got together, violated all the restrictions. Had some family members come in after Christmas. Large, you know, my sister's large family. And, you know, we were probably together with maybe 20, 25 people crammed in my brother's house. And
oh, good for you.
We got to watch.
Get to Times Square and dance with de Blasio.
Just yeah, the ball dropped on an empty Times Square, and de Blasio and his wife took the opportunity to dance with masks on.
Yeah, that was really endearing, wasn't it?
So, again, there's de Blasio with the his political acumen. He just doesn't seem to care.
No, he doesn't. I mean, the city's just – well, I mean, the thing is, for someone like that, the long-term, you know, lifetime actor family, he's – this is the project, you know. They've been able to destroy New York, so
– yeah, I thought it was ironic because he's there dancing, and it's Times Square with all the neon lights and all the products being commercialism and consumerism being promoted, where they're destroying the economy that's going to enable people to consume anything. 100,000 businesses being destroyed. You know, shutting down, you know, restaurants in the city, him and Cuomo, because there's Cuomo patting himself on the back saying he expected to have a good Christmas because he'd been such a good boy this year. So,
yeah, it was just about as bizarre a thing as is imaginable in, you know, in history. The dance of the Bellagios in the empty Times Square with Frank Sinatra, you know, singing New York, New York in the background. It's just that it's beyond just cruelty. It's almost sort of psychopathic, you know, that they would celebrate the moment in that way. It's just amazing, you know, that the public puts up with it. But, hopefully, Tim, people are getting angry and this will lead to a clearer understanding of the world. It's going to be an angry crowd that visits Washington, D.C. this week on the 6th, won't it?
Yeah, there's. I think Trump has rallied, I guess, his troops to come and descend upon Washington, D.C. for this January 6th event. This is usually a routine and formal event, as the formality, as the Biden campaign called it. But this year's different because of the election, you know, the questions surrounding the election of fraud. You know, ordinarily, December 14th, I guess that's the safe harbor date when the Electoral College are sent to sealed. They're voted on in the respective states, and they're sent to Washington, D.C., supposedly in a sealed box or something. I'm not supposed to know what the results are, you know, these things, but we do. And, of course, the six or seven states in question saw to it to accept these, quote, certified votes, even though the elections were fair or fraudulent, and that's not even a dispute. That's one of the facts that in five of these states failed to meet federal and also state law. Yet they certified the vote, not coupled with the of course the allegations. I think substantive allegations of fraud in these states. They certified these votes, and they were sent to, you know, so they were sent on December 14th. So January 6th is when Congress, the new Congress, you know, vice president, sitting vice president, opens the sealed ballots and introduces the votes. And that's when the president, person who is supposedly elected president in November, becomes president-elect officially. But this year, there's a lot more question. People are calling upon Pence to intercede and not count the votes from these seven states because of the fraudulent nature of these elections. They're failed elections. The law says the president, the vice president, as president of the Senate, shall read the votes. Does, given the controversy and the problems in these states, there's a question whether these things constitute legal votes. And the argument is that the president, the vice president, has the discretion not to count them, in which case he would subtract those electoral votes from the tally, and that would give Donald Trump, the sitting president, the majority in that election, and he would be then be elected president. That's the argument for intercession. It's the Pence card for Pence's intercession. Another path is the challenge, and there are as many two dozen Republican representatives in the Congress, in the House of Representatives, who are willing to challenge the vote. And at least one senator, I think Josh Hawley, has said he will do it. So that's, so you have a senator and several congressmen challenging the Electoral College vote, which then forces the Congress to break off into debate if this occurs. And it would be at least a 2-hour debate, some saying, for each challenge. It's a 2-hour debate, or is it a 2-hour debate? That's unclear to me. I can imagine if you had like 100, you'd think maybe as many as 140 members of the House of Representatives would challenge it, because they're the ones that actually signed, I think, signed an amicus brief in support of the Texas case a few weeks ago. That would that might create what is called a contingent election. I'll stand corrected if I'm not a constitutional scholar, but this is how I think it works. It becomes a contingent election, and the two houses, break off, the Senate and House of Representatives, to a debate. And of course, the Senate being Republican controlled and House of Representatives being narrowly Democratic controlled, both are narrow, by the way. There's some speculation, of course, that the Senate would vote for the vice president to be Pence, and the House of Representatives would vote for, of course, Donald Joseph Biden. And then that's not an election, so then they it would technically it would become a contingent election. And that's when the House of Representatives votes, and it's by the delegation, not by representation. And Republicans have a 30-20 lead, and so you could see Trump winning that way. You can see how that could go that way. The problem is we have a lot of rhinos Republicans, right? I mean, a lot of weak Republicans, Mitch McConnell, Roy Blunt, a lot of senators have said, no, it's over. Trump shouldn't do this. Yet you have these. A lot of Republicans, not just in the House but in the Senate, saying no, this isn't. They're going to challenge it. Mitch McConnell doesn't seem to have control, although he's the majority leader. So it's hard to say how this will go. My feeling is, it's I said this before. Really, the Republicans, if they really wanted to win this, they have the power. They have the numbers. They have the facts. They have the moral and political high ground in this. They could win it. So if they don't do it, if I said, here you go. The Supreme Court, supposedly conservative majority, the Senate, Republican, all the legislatures in disputed states, I think, the critical four, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, were Republican controlled. So, but all these institutions have failed to hold the Democrats accountable for their obvious electoral fraud. And so if Joe Biden does prevail in stealing this election, Republicans are known, but Republicans to blame in this. The Democrats, in a sense, stole this fair and square. So you have to ask this, why are they letting this happen? And is this just a charade? So that's where we are right now,
Yep,
with the
that's
election.
where we are. And incidentally, a very concise and clear explanation of the process, which is very unclear constitutionally. They've never really gone as far down the process as you describe, and there could be procedural issues at almost every step. I know that there's rumors that Pelosi and McConnell have already worked out a process by which they can basically thwart the vote from coming forward, though I don't quite know how they could do that given the Constitution, but nevertheless, these are the rumors. I tell you the truth, Tim, I am worried about this. I really don't think that there is much hope for a Trump presidency here. I think that if that was going to happen, the Republicans should have already been courageous. They could have already forced the states that had these Tammany Hall type election results with the obvious ballot stuffing. I don't know if you saw the, just to digress, but last week they were able to get some, and I think it was in a at the Democratic legislature, they were able to get some of the evidence on record, and they showed that there was 17,650 votes that were literally switched from Trump to Biden, and they show how they did it. They had all the data. The people who are bringing the evidence forward are, just without question experts in this area, and there was no contestation by the Democrats. I mean, there wasn't like they were saying, well, wait a second, we have this other rationale to explain it. It was as if it didn't matter, basically. So you've had Lindsey Graham say that, well, it's fine to protest, but you really can't change the results of another state's election. So the rhinos are already making their position clear, and they have already for the last 2 months. You've
Yeah,
been
that just
seeing
doesn't matter. They don't.
it
They're not.
doesn't
It's something
matter.
like the courts. When the courts had these procedural rulings to ignore the lawsuits, they're not challenging the facts of these cases. Now you're dealing with the reality of these stolen, fraudulent elections. And this is the whole argument. Where the law says the vice president shall read the votes. Well, they're not
No,
votes if they're fraudulent.
and it hinges on the term of vote. What is a vote?
It's a fraudulent vote, a vote.
Right. And he can certainly coherently, logically, and obviously within the broad interpretation of the Constitution, just say these aren't votes. We have, we've just presented really good evidence that it was fraud. So anyway, they're not going to, we're not going to count them. This I just think is a very, very far-fetched idea. I think that if they were going to do that, Pence would have, it wouldn't just be in this debate, which you don't really have any clear way of understanding how it's going to impact the public. They have either a 2 or 4 hour, like you say, I'm not sure they even know at this point of how long the evidence can be presented for. But in any event, this would be such a coal cock at this point that I'm not sure what evidence they could bring forward
Well,
that would.
here's the case. The president has made these accusations, I think, with evidence, despite the media's blackout. More than half the country thinks the election was stolen. So the president, being a co-equal branch of government, the executive branch, he is a constitutional officer. His sworn duty is to uphold and defend the Constitution, and also enforce faithfully enforce the laws. So if he has evidence of fraud, he has to enforce the laws and have his government investigate the evidence, arrest the offenders, and of course the offenders get all the way up to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, because they have
Of
him on
course.
tape admitting that they have a vast, inclusive voter fraud operation.
Yeah. Right. That's
And so, I mean, the point is
the filters and senile are not great,
it's true, but I'm
when they
saying
submitted it.
people have been prosecuted, like on those social media materials, saying, I plan to do this, and that's introduced in the court against defendants as evidence of conspiracy or participation, whatever crime the person's been charged with. The young man who got caught up in that Charlottesville thing, where he allegedly drove his car into the crowd, seems to be he was being chased and he panicked, but that's a whole other story. And he's got 140 years in prison, but part of the evidence brought against him was some of his social media and his showing his temperament. So, I mean, theoretically, the president could, charge the Joe Biden, with being involved in this crime. Not to mention the problem. Here's the discomfort is we have this political system where there's two major political parties, two legit political parties officially. Okay, that we don't really brook or tolerate third parties much in this country. They're not considered serious. If one of the major parties is shown to be a criminal enterprise. What we have is a constitutional crisis brought about by criminal activity. And we have an argument now. So now the Republicans, the losers, the designated losers in this, they've designated themselves the losers because that's all part of the this the show we call politics, is they have to follow all the technical, they have to follow the letter of the law, make sure every T is crossed, every I is dotted, because you can't break any rules. So we're told that all up to this point, all these laws can be broken, all these electoral laws regarding elections can be broken, all up to the point of the Electoral College are counted on January 6th. And then after that, then we have to follow the law, specific,
Yeah,
technically.
yeah.
But if you've broken all the laws leading up to this point, why should they be constrained by your reading of the law when there's actually ambiguity in the law? Because we're dealing with a constitutional crisis. There's no way any constitutional system can deal effectively with law breaking in bad faith, because it relies on people kind of following the rules, the basic
Yeah,
rules of the game, and
it's a
they haven't. They
constitutional,
haven't. So
It's a
now it gets
constitutional and
political.
also
It
it's a
gets political.
political
When it gets
crisis.
political, you have to be a little creative. You have to assert your powers. And this is the point where, constitutional order breaks down, and you kind of edge towards perhaps a civil war disorder, and it becomes basically a question of power and will. And that's what politics is, despite all the legal niceties that Americans are told that our system has, all the constitutional parchment guarantees we have. Obviously they're empty promises, as we can see.
Well, it is power, will, but it is also propaganda, unfortunately. And what I'm worried about is that we are in the process of a theatrical propaganda moment. Trump has called his legions into Washington. And I think you're going to have millions there. I've heard that this is believed to be the case. There'll be several million people.
Where they cross the Rubicon, the Potomac River?
Yeah, crossing the Rubicon.
The die is
And
cast, as they say.
right. And now, if this is all, a theatrical production, what is the purpose of it? Okay, well, let me just my thoughts along these lines are that the
Well,
target
reflect
here
back
is,
on 2020, all the events.
yeah, exactly, is that it's all been leading up to a slave state. The basic target of the Biden Antifa political movement is to reduce the social status and self-esteem of particularly the white male, but the white race, the European race in general, races in general. And so if what we're about to see on the 6th is part of that, one scenario would be a false flag. You have people in the crowd, who are operatives. Who use violence in a way that can then be brought to the public and saying, look, the militant groups, these dangerous white males with ARs, they've got to be rounded up and disarmed. I mean, here they tried to kill the president or whatever the false flag would be. But that is kind of what I am worried about, is that that you have, if what happens is, as I think, is that you'll have the evidence presented and it will be public. There'll be a way to get the information directly out to the crowd. It'll be outside, millions milling about, and it'll be overwhelming. They'll just say, it's just very clear as the day. Trump had the election stolen, but then they will procedurally find a way to circumvent. And of course, the rhinos being what they are, that this shouldn't be too much trouble. They'll be able to have the votes cast for Biden. And now, what does the crowd do at that point? What are they supposed to do in this pageant? Well, I mean, one scenario is French Revolution, where they storm the Bastille. And if you have operatives in the midst who are there for the purpose of creating the kind of violence that could then be used as propaganda. Now you'd have the double whammy of a illegitimate Antifa taking the knee Biden presidency, starting at exactly the moment where you've had this rationale for the disarming and the lowering of the social status of the European male. That looks like a very possible scenario that all of these events would be logical relating to.
And you have, of course, you have a very volatile situation potentially in Washington, D.C. That again, it also could be a situation where, the challengers are made, the chair debate, because the Senate is, although it's Republican controlled, it's full of a bunch of wimpy, typical Washington, swamp creatures, and they'll go for Biden. House Republicans go for Biden, and Vice and Pence will read in the votes, and that's all. That's it. Be a
Now,
big
stand by.
letdown.
Yeah, well, it would be a psychological disaster because
Yes.
you've had a obviously stolen election, so democracy doesn't work, and then you have been exposed as irrationally violent. So then the weapons that the Europeans have would be, on the chopping block.
But then there's this whole thing. No, the DNI is supposed to come out with this report that was delayed. Now, what if this report comes out after the 6th, and it does point to, foreign intervention in the elections, they say, and corruption? And then you have 14 days for the president to act.
Right. I mean, he the this could well go right up to the inauguration, because Trump has between now and then to declare martial law or use the Insurrection Act to suspend legal process and just say, I'm not permitting Biden to take office. There'll be no inauguration because the evidence that, this is not just a criminal, it's not just Tammany Hall, but it's an international attack, and that's president, so Trump has a options all the way up until he leaves office.
And I mean, that's not completely cynical. I think there's a legitimate case to be made for that.
Of course, I mean, if Trump was real, if he wasn't just a an actor playing a role here, he would be required to do this. As you well know, Tim, we've discussed this 100 times, that you cannot present clear evidence that there was election fraud as president of the United States and then not take the next step, which is to suspend the results of the election. I mean, it's axiomatic. You have to do that.
And the people at fault for this, you can say, well, then Trump is acting like a dictator, he's being opportunistic. Well, okay, but then again, you shouldn't have tried to steal the election.
Right. Well, no, and I mean, I think that the left would riot, but I think that Trump's base would support him right to the max on this. I just think this is very far-fetched. I had a thought that I'll pass along. It's cynical, but it's I thought it might create context. I think if they really want to create the biggest frenzy in the Trump's brigade that is milling about outside the Capitol buildings, when they get their chance to present the evidence, they should bring the star witness forward, Jeffrey Epstein.
Bring him out of of exile.
They have him, in the wings. He's been under, some kind of house protection. They bring him out, and then he just drops the truth bomb of pedophilia, names. But this doesn't stop the process, and Biden still becomes president. Well, now, if because, so many times in history, you see the violence is what they want. The violence is how all of the kind of political machinations are maneuvered to produce. They are producing a rationale for violence because now they can reduce population. Now they can enslave population. This becomes the rationale with which is the tool that they can use for their next step.
What we're seeing is the sort of the end stages of the color revolution that was started, I think, overtly in the early stages of 2020 with the declared pandemic, the shutdown, something that the Trump administration was participated in. That's something that people forget, is he did declare the state of emergency and permitted sort of permitted the governors to carry down their lockdown orders.
So I would just say as advice, I would make sure that if you're there, I know people are going, record everything. Record everything. Particularly anyone who is, kind of inappropriately violent, get that on tape. That will need to be out immediately to like explain to America what actually happened, to counter what mainstream media will be presenting about the operation. The problem is that we are not ready for violence because we haven't gone through the information revolution.
Mm-hmm.
The people don't know what to attack. I mean, they think that they can attack, Biden and Harris and the Antifa crowd, and this will somehow save the country. But they don't understand the extent that the Republicans are part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that the oligarchs, the Jewish banking families, you know, the medical dictatorship, they need to, the public needs to have that information. So the information revolution first, so that if you move into a violent phase, you know what and who to attack, because right now they don't. Right now it'll just be violence, which will be very, very easy to manipulate in terms of propaganda.
Well, a good example of that is you know, dealing with the larger issue, the meta political issue, is of course the impact of the various lockdowns, the economic destruction that it has wrought, but the failure of the political process or our political leaders to deal with that issue. In fact, they're passing relief bills and handing out checks with borrowed money. At the same time, they're carrying out policies that are just destroying what remains of the Main Street economy. And it's all part of this global carpetbagging operation. It's a big mass transfer of wealth that's occurred in the past 11 months under the guise of the pandemic. And no one's addressing that. There's no political representative, no political figure of any stature that's dealing with that issue, which, again, highlights the bankruptcy, or at least the uselessness of the political class. In fact, they're actually making it worse because, again, they're just running up the debt, as if it doesn't matter. And their solution is paying people not to work, and not allowing people to work, at least not going after the governors that are spearheading, the economic warfare that's being waged.
The problem, of course, is the process we're on now is national suicide, in that the so-called helicopter money, this mm-hmm. direct insertion of $2,000 for every citizen. Tim, that can't ever stop.
Well, that's getting everyone conditioned for universal basic income and.
Well, but moreover, it's getting everyone in position for the end of the dollar, because if you start having a payroll for non-work of $1 trillion a month, I mean, that isn't going to last very long as the world's reserve currency. So, the process we're on will be to have the currency stop working. You'll see it, first of all, the most important signal will be it stops working against food and energy, but food particularly. If it stops working in terms of being able to purchase foreign grain, things like this, man, oh man, this is a sign that you're close to the end, because that will really create the not just inflation, but the rejection of the currency, just en masse. And so now if you create a situation where Americans have no working currency in terms of international food and even inside the country, how will we get along? Not too well, because we are not we're not a farming nation anymore. We don't know how to produce food. The inner cities are obviously struggling with fentanyl problems. I mean, so we are at a very debased place culturally as a country, and I don't think we can go through any kind of real test of character. I think it'll just explode into violence again. This will all be very easy to be manipulated.
Well, here's the important thing: the House of Representatives is on top of this, because apparently the next Congress, the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives, is moving to remove all gender-specific terminology and language, so they're all inclusive all genders.
Right. Well, I mean, the cultural Marxists have simply won. And like Gregor Luchas's idea of turning the European children from humans into animals will finally be successful, and then on to, as his ultimate objective was, vegetables and plants. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll just lose their humanity and even their even their bestiality will be gone, you know, because they really won't be sentient. I mean, what I would imagine is just en masse fentanyl. You know, we'll just be a drug nation on our way into the grave. Countering all of these negative thoughts is the fact that the information revolution is really picking up speed. I was delighted to see, in fact, the thing that really I'm most pleased about this last week was that now 50% of hospital staff, according to polls, are saying they will not take the vaccine, even though they're at risk of losing their job. So this is a tremendous achievement of the independent media, and it really shows that people are ready for to be outside of the propaganda control.
Well, this whole thing, and this—I mean, even if you buy into the vaccine paradigm, the idea behind, you know, vaccines in general, they're trying to roll this thing out where they're trying to tell you, reassure you, that it's safe, it's effective, even though they admit that it's not. But nevertheless, they've been able to expedite, you know, all the tests. You know, usually something takes 7 to 10 years. They did it in 6-7 months. And then they're telling you to take this for a disease, which is 99.97%, you know, recovery rate. You don't, you know, you survive it. Most people are asymptomatic or mild symptoms. It's a flu, for Pete's sake, you know. And people just aren't buying it. And not to mention, it's an mRNA vaccine. It's not even a vaccine. It's gene therapy. It's gene modification for what? It may do this. It may do that. And I think I'll just risk it. I think I'll risk catching your cold. And it's just they're just not selling it.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that if you're getting the poll numbers of 50% of hospital staff, it's a far greater fraction than that. I think these numbers are controlled, so I would be. I hope it's up to like 80% are just refusing. You cannot have a sense that the COVID was not real in any way, and then accept the vaccine. In other words, to me, just understanding some simple facts like the PCR cycle that was used to create the Casedemic. Mm-hmm. Was set 40, and that this is guaranteed to produce, you know, just 97% false positives. Mm-hmm. And knowing that this was permitted, you know, and understood by the government, I mean, that in and of itself should just give the public the awareness that this is artificial, and that therefore the idea that the vaccine is going to be malevolent is like axiomatic. Of course it's going to be malevolent. Of course it is. Why would they go through all of this trouble and then just stick you with a needle? Of course, they don't stick the, you know, fancy people with needles. They just pretend to. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw Kamala Harris's vaccination, you know, which was an obvious fraud last week. But anyway, so this, you know, this is great. We're developing the information revolution, and it's protecting us right off the bat. It has a great beneficial effect because, you know, a lot of people are just saying, you know, we're just going to stick it out. And the good news here is that they can't threaten a lot of these people with losing their jobs because they're out of work.
Yeah. Well, when you put in a position where they've nothing left to lose, they're going to lose it. They're not going to tolerate it. And that's the big, you know, that's why people suffer a long train of abuses, because it's their day-to-day lives. They have to get through it. It isn't worth it to them to rebel. Until it gets to the point where it is for them to rebel, or you not comply. It's not even you don't even have to have direct rebellion, just non-compliance. And I suspect you're getting a lot of that anyway. You're just not being reported. I'm hearing reports out of California where people just aren't, like in San Diego, people just they're opening up their business and not complying. Sheriffs aren't enforcing this stuff, you know. And it does. You hope to see a point where there's a sort of a general acknowledgement among the public of a sort of a lack of legitimacy among the so-called authorities. And from that, maybe you could build a political coalition to do something directly. You know, it's I just heard that there's a bill submitted in New York to incarcerate or segregate diseased individuals. You know, then you say, what's a diseased individual? Is it a positive PCR test that's fraudulent? You hear me? And I was like, what's your
You
standard?
test positive for cultural
Yeah.
Marxism.
Well, based on this thing, I think they're language disease carriers. Well, since we're all biological organisms, we're all potential disease carriers. And what they've done with this whole pandemic, scandemic thing is they've created a situation where everyone is presumed guilty. Everyone's presumed guilty. So if they want to go after you, they pick you off. Or if they want an entire group, they just, so there's no evidence. I would like to see, if you could, if the political process was legitimate. And you had some elected officials actually calling out the pandemic for the scam that it is submitting legislation that would ban so-called lockdowns, shutting down businesses. It's a violation of due process, violation of property rights, but also with attach it civil and criminal penalties for any such actions, and also a bill to require political authorities, public health officials, to provide factual basis for declared emergencies. Because a lot of these judges, the constitutional issue is, well, there's an emergency, therefore everything's permitted. Well, no, there should be a factual basis for this claim. Because if you do have a situation where constitutional rights can be suspended under an emergency, you're going to find a whole lot of emergencies, which we do have, by the way, emergency. And that's one thing the government has done. They've passed federal and state laws giving governors and so-called public health officials and bureaucrats wide powers or wide discretionary powers for any declared emergency. And whenever someone casts a speculative, a cynical or a skeptical light on these emergencies, they never pan out. It's always, it's just an example of someone not letting a crisis go to waste, so to speak. But it turns out that even the crisis itself is created, you know.
The person who really has this right is Pam Popper.
Oh yes, yeah.
She has organized a number of lawsuits, and she pointed out that the first batch of lawsuits against the governors was on the grounds that what they did was unconstitutional, but this was a very weak tack because they could rely on the idea of they had outside the constitutional powers because there was a medical emergency. And she said, no, the way you want to design these lawsuits is to force them to prove there is an emergency.
Yes.
And so her lawsuits, I think, are much more coherent. And I mean, of course, if, as you say, we had like a real working legal system, they would just be obviously on the road to victory. But I would say that the court system is as full of control and agents as like the medical system. The idea that you could actually run tests at 40 cycles for 7 or 8 months in the United States and not have doctors stepping up and just refusing to let the government get away with it. I mean, the AMA just has to be like a B'nai B'rith or the Great Lodge of London or
Well,
something.
that's where you have to look at these things. You had the Barrington Declaration, right? So people just ignore that? Tens of thousands of medical health professionals. These are people that are within the system that are trained by their rules, calling it out. So when people say, well, someone would say something, well, they have said something. You hear thousands and thousands from all corners of the globe speaking out against this, and just ignore it.
Yeah, they just ignore it. And there's enough control at the hospital, at the money level, that they can just keep rolling forward with the idea that there's some kind of medical justification for slavery. It's where we're at, I think, will become clear over the next 3 weeks. We're going to be in a kind of Wild West pre-legal system or post-legal system world where you're going to have your own autonomous zone, so to speak. Blocks, coalitions of people, however you can organize yourself, need to come together for self-defense because you can just be certain that the government will be attempting to genocide.
Well,
So
yeah, it requires sort of a a preparation, like I think I mentioned before we started recording, is leading up to the American War of Independence. You had these committees of correspondence, committees of public safety. These things, they were coordinating sort of a parallel system to not only wage the war for independence and also set something up afterwards. And that's probably something we'll just have to think about, maybe parallel communities, economies perhaps. It just may require geographic relocation for some people. It's difficult. It's but that's where we are. It's I don't have a clear path myself. Personally, I
Well,
don't.
if you want like a template, watch films like our TV shows like The Walking Dead. I mean, you can see how they do it there, how they can like organize themselves into little fiefdoms. I honestly think that's to some extent real. I mean, I think that's kind of what we'll have to do. It might be more intellectual than physical, but nevertheless, it is going to happen because the way they have set up the technologic slave state onset is pretty ham-handed. I don't know why they actually would have done it this way, because what will happen certainly over the next 6 months is the percentage of people who are aware of malevolence in the government, that this isn't just incompetence, it's not stupidity. It's going to grow dramatically. Because when people start seeing, the rule of law collapse and the food system collapse, they're going to understand it now. There's no way they can hide the deliberate destruction of America. That will become very clear shortly. And so at that point, you're going to have angry people who will, I think, want to organize themselves. And now from there on out, I just don't have a clue as to how it'll go forward. But I think it's pretty straightforward from here to there, where there'll be a huge kerfuffle. There'll be truth bombs dropped everywhere. But at the end of the day, Biden will take over. But there will be insurrection.
Well, you have
I
a
mean,
situation like in Texas where you have 30 million Texans,
yeah.
saying,
What are you
well.
do with them? I mean, they're already, just furious being attached to this clown show, and so they'll try to succeed.
And they're economically viable on their own.
Sure,
They have
absolutely. So.
agriculture, they have energy, they have seaports, independent international
They
border.
have nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
They have everything the modern country
And
needs
also,
to
they got their
resist.
gold back. That's something that's
Yeah.
not talked
So,
about, by the way.
so these are the ideas. But for the fentanyl brigade, the ones who are, the shock troop of, Antifa, the Biden-Harris crowd, they will all be. I don't think there'll be many of them will make it more than 12 months. I mean, they're just not, they have to live on government largesse. They will no longer have much of a purpose. I mean, you saw the picture of de Blasio dancing. I mean, New York City has been, they pretty well succeeded. They've destroyed the city. It's empty, to a large extent. You can get a place to park in Times Square anytime you feel like it. So, there'll be, I think that group, sad to say, will be probably the first one that'll just be on the, on the starvation chopping block, because they don't have any. I mean, these people have no sentient capacity, Tim. I mean, when I had that individual taking me around with his, on FaceTime in the autonomous zone in Seattle, I mean, these people are gone. They are just without souls, so many of them, So this will be the first casualty, great, human casualty of the brave new world. The rest of us have to kind of, keep our wits about us, and we just have to always keep organizing. Organizing. The shared interests have to be developed. Recreate any kind of organization that has some capacity to resist itself. It can. I mean, Tim, I know people will think that this is alarmist. And I'm not saying this is 100%, but man, it's likely enough that that's one of the things I think people should be doing right now to get ready.
Well, as Catherine Austin Fitz says, if you're not part of a conspiracy right now, become part of a conspiracy. Start planning. And she sees it as, she sees it as sort of a currency war. mean, this is they're phasing out paper currencies, fiat currencies, because they've pretty much used them as far as they can with the debt and all that, and they've got to move to a next phase, and that is this sort of technocratic slave state that they're building with the Great Reset. So the conspiracy is now an open conspiracy. They talk about it, and that's of course the as a sort of a setup for that was this the pandemic, and they're calling, basically they're impose this economic shutdown, sort of this austerity. They imposed austerity under the cover of a public health crisis, and now they're setting up certain conditions or rules to emerge from the crisis. Nano maybe vaccines laden with nanotechnology monitoring of 5G. They're still building, rolling that out because that's necessary for the Panopticon they're constructing. Leading up to it, I think they've been able to create a large section or large the infrastructure for the Panopticon under the guise of consumerism. With Alexa, and, and cellular phones and these things. And now they're stepping it up a bit, and they need the 5G, the Internet of Things, to monitor everything, because that's how they sort of impose this dream. You have to know the history of this, but the all the technocratic idea of the resource-based economy, no longer relying on currency, a rule of experts. Obviously, always front men for oligarchs, but now, with this exploding debt and economic suppression, you have a setup for a collapse of the currency, and of course, out of the ashes from that will be universal basic income, social credit system. You have credits with the company store. The Great Reset itself is, of course, contingent upon economic lockdowns, destroying all the small businesses, which won't be allowed to exist under the Great Reset, when everything will be corporatized, centralized, and the whole world will become a company store. That's their vision, in which we have store credits, and of course, what our store credits are allowed to buy can be carefully controlled because it's all digital currency. This is whole about all this Bitcoin stuff, which has some as a suspicious pedigree where it came from. But all that's very modern. It's not there's a very difference from cash and currency with its independence, and also more importantly, you have privacy with currency, you have anonymity, but with digitized currency, not only can they control the value of it overnight, they can manipulate its value, they actually determine what you can buy, where you can buy, where you can go. So it's and this is all made possible by the Internet of Things they're building, this infrastructure they're building. And so now they're ushering this new era, this new economic era that they dream of, which is total control.
Yeah, and with no possibility of rebellion. And this is really, in back, they talk about control. Really, what they want is that the humans that are left are incapable of any kind of threat to them. They want to have power, and they want to be absolutely concrete in their ownership of it. There can be no chance that whoever, whatever humans are left, could ever attack them. And so they need to have monitoring, which obviously, you look at Bitcoin and all of the online currency concepts, they're all ways that they can monitor where we are. And of course, as you say, they can also basically cut off our capacity to spend money.
Or you ate too much meat this week. Now you
Yeah,
can only buy this.
are a dangerous thought. You read a dangerous book, that you'll have to starve this week. So that's the kind of world that they're heading toward. And remember that this world will eventually have 500 million people in it. I mean, I think that that's a very reasonable guideline that comes from the Guidestones. That's kind of what they have in mind. So there has to be, a genocide of 8 billion people. Well, to resist this, information revolution, people have to be aware that this process is going on. It's going to be interesting to see how quickly and to what extent the MAGA crowd can gain the correct understanding from what's about to happen, because they will come in, the crowd that will be there supporting Trump, as I've said, I think they're very easy to manipulate in a negative way. But beyond that, what will those people understanding of the world be? I mean, the people who bought into the Q theory and all of these different theories that Trump somehow represented a separate a white hat group that was trying to, you know, get rid of, you know, the evil that was controlling America, the commies, you know, the communist Chinese, whoever they want to use as the boogeyman. But when Trump advocates, then how quickly can that group come out of the depression and the bewilderment and come into, you know, the sunlight of the information revolution, where they start realizing, wait a second, the Jewish banking families control both sides of the dialectic. Mm-hmm. I was a dupe. I was just in that process. Now I'm outside of it. Now I can see clearly how I got here, how our country got here. Everything suddenly makes sense, because that person is capable of correct, you know, and precise rebellion. Without the understanding, I think you'll see on it's Wednesday, I believe, isn't it, the 6th? Mm-hmm. I think you'll see if there's violence on Wednesday, which I would just be shocked if there isn't, almost, it'll be unfocused. It will actually be self-defeating, because the violence will simply make the state stronger at the end of the day, because the public will, a lot of the public will succumb to the propaganda that the MAGA crowd represents something that's evil in the heart, something that is not democratic, you know, all of the different memes that they throw against Americans, and which are all, it's just a proxy for the white male. I mean, I just think I see Trump, you know, as a proxy. He's in a theatrical production. The production is for propaganda. They want to destroy our self-esteem. They want to lower our social standing. And so Trump will, at the end of the day, fail. And in doing so, he'll fail in a way that makes the state easier to, you know, lock us down. So to resist that, or to go beyond it, we have to really keep moving with the information revolution. I'm hoping that if the internet stays up, which to some extent it has to for them to, you know, implement the propaganda that they want.
Yeah.
If shows like ours can continue to go on, that it'll dramatically accelerate. The information process will dramatically accelerate it with the Biden presidency.
Well, because, I mean, I think we've already seen that, because what you've with the election fraud and even with the scamdemic is the official coverage of it. The official coverage, there is no proof of election fraud, you know, from the networks, from the major cable news stations, CNN, Fox. But you had, you know, obviously they have their baggage, but you know, smaller outfits like One America Network and also Newsmax had a big impact, because people gravitated towards that for alternative information to get, you know, the real story on this particular issue. And we've already seen where the breakdown of centralized control of information, where you can have an essentially complete blackout of the evidence of election fraud, but still have most of the public realize that the election was indeed stolen. So that's a good sign. Same thing with the skepticism towards the vaccine and sort of the breakdown. Roughly half the country probably thinks the whole COVID thing is, if not a hoax, way overblown and being used to, you know, carry out an ulterior or secret agenda. And that's not, you know, although the media will say that's a conspiracy theory. Oh, well, yeah, but probably more than half the country either is open to that or believes that. And so that itself is that they've lost monopoly control of information, even though officially, you know, these things are wild conspiracy theories. And that's what 2020 kind of, it's been, 2020 has been a filtering year where you've seen the people who are still have capacity for critical thought, the people that don't. And you see it in families and friends and who we work with. And it's been a moment of clarity for a lot of people.
But I also think it's been a year that has dramatically accelerated the alternative intellectual world. You know? I mean, there's just many, many more people now that are suspicious. COVID was the way that they onset the slave state, but it was so stupid and so ham-handed. Mm-hmm. That now 50% of the medical staff won't even take the vaccine they have as the antidote. So,
well, look, you have to look at the public authorities, the, you know, public health and sometime we should probably do a show on public health, its origins and how it's what's its true agenda. How outfits like the CDC, the World Health Organization, or some clown like Anthony Fauci, these pronouncements. He came out recently, admitted that he boosted the necessary herd immunity just to boost the acceptance of the vaccines. So all said now, where's your scientist now? Trust the science. Well, science is obviously political. He's being political with his scientific proclamations. We have the exposure of the PCR test, which we've been talking about. So or this exposure, just the overblown nature, the corruption that we all experienced this year. With with boosting inflating the infection rates, calling infections a PCR test. So there's no trust in, and justifiably so, in any of these institutions. And these institutions are, Pam Popper, the lady that you mentioned, she's done a lot of research about public health institutions are all tied back to Big Pharma and the banking families and the elites
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Davos, the World Economic Forum. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, these malevolent billionaires who presume to run the world, and that's gotten out, and it's you don't have to do much research to draw those connections because it's not, again, it's so ham-handed, so in your face now. It's like it's they're telling you what they're going to do. They're telling you to take everything away from you, and you're going to love it no matter what. It's 20 years, 2030, you own nothing, and it's great,
Yeah, but I think that the human spirit is not that easy to extinguish, and we are designed just by evolution, by whatever, we are designed to fight for ourselves. And I think that now that it's on the table that we are being genocided, now that this is something that's, it's not a far-fetched idea. I think people, you're going to start to see just more. The anger is really going to help people think clearly because
Well,
that helps
the
improve
MAGA crowd,
motivation.
although they're easily manipulated, as mass politics always is, there's a lot to work with there because they, I think that generally speaking, they have a lot healthier, more organic outlook. They're the small business owners. They have to meet payroll. They tend to have families and these things. So they're taken in by a lot of the patriotic, propaganda of Americanism, constitutionalism, and these things, but it. So much has been exposed this year that now even they're are looking, maybe they're open to seeing what's really going on, and how they're at least their world, or at least their lifestyle is more immediately on the chopping block than say their adversaries on the left. So there's more to work with there.
Yeah, and also they're smart. They're kind of used to dealing with flow systems, you know what I mean? They have to communicate. The small business owners that have been wiped out are a great potential source of organized rebellion. I think they're perhaps as strong as potential as Catholic congregations, Christian congregations that should be able to now rebel from their whoever it is who is the authority of their congregation, of the bishop or whatever, who is either feckless or in on the deal. These organizations, I mean, there should be, I suggested that Vigano declare himself pope. He should simply say, look, it's just clear that this Freemason is not representing the principles that I, think are, supposedly ascribed to Jesus Christ, and therefore, in order to resist this, I have to lead the church.
Well, yeah.
And
Well, from a Catholic perspective, you had this situation where, I think parish priests who are acting in good faith who were ordered by their bishops to deny Catholics the sacrament for 6 or 7 weeks.
sure.
So, what do you have when you have an apostate bishop?
Well, what you have is the American Catholic, church. And so, but again, this is just, these are areas that are ripe for rebellion. These congregations can come together quickly. What I'm trying to say is the organizations that existed, which had been controlled, were still nevertheless organizations. And so they had bad governance, they had evil governance, they had controlled governance. But as that is exposed, the organizations can can very easily, I believe, behead, using an expression, Tim, the malevolent top, and then replace it with someone from their own, from inside the congregation, someone who has self-defense who's really there to for the interests of the individuals in the congregation.
Or you use that structure to develop a parallel organization that declares itself legitimate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, something
that's
like that.
And once you're in existence, once you have your mind clear, then of course continue organizing.
Yeah.
Just think how quickly if the Catholic congregation, just to take them because I have my family, I had an uncle who was a Catholic Monsignor, Father William Atwell, and so I, knew him well, and I have that kind of historical memory of what these congregations were like, what the diocese system was like at one point. It's obviously much weaker now, but it's still in existence to an extent. These dioceses could, once they have gotten rid of the malevolence who's taking them off a cliff, they can reunite. And then if you had 1,000 Catholic dioceses suddenly in an organization, could happen in a couple months, they could reach out to other Christian organizations, and then suddenly Christian America could be organized to defend itself. Just as an example, the secularists should do the same thing. They don't have, unfortunately, they don't have much in the way of historical memory as far as organizations, but to the extent that, you have whatever organizations there are, like the ones that I've been trying to talk to are veterans organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I think that these groups, they have been treated, just horribly. And they, of course, are really in trouble, in dealing with the medical profession. And so these groups can I haven't had much luck with it, but I think in potential, these are groups that can come together. The veterans groups, the Christian diocese, and then, of course, zealotry on the campuses, because a lot of young people, particularly European students, they can see the insanity of, the cultural Marxism. These groups could then also quickly coalesce into this one pulsing, large, rebellious mass that was sitting inside America that had 100 million people associated with it. And you see, that group couldn't be, it would be really tough to genocide it. It could fight back. You certainly couldn't use police and things like that. It could just overwhelm, that kind of thing. So, and then, of course, the ultimate prize is the army, is to see if you can get the alternative, the information revolution at the low level of the army, where you have just the division head. I think that the army heads of staff are all just completely Masonic and they're just gone. But lower down in the process of authority, there will be people who will understand that they are the jackboot thugs of the dictators, and they would be open,
Mm-hmm.
So this is like what I'm hoping, is this next year can be a year of organization. The information revolution will become clearer, because if you do have a Biden-Harris presidency, you just can't have it made any more clear for you, right? I mean, there it is. And then the rebellion will become, more desperate, will have more energy, because people will start to realize they're about to die. No food, no money, no job, no future. They've got to get off their ass and get something done.
Yeah, and with a Biden-Harris administration, you have to work to make sure that it becomes increasingly irrelevant.
yeah.
And that's it's the same way that you want some defection among the organs of the state that are there to enforce it. And you could get that with various sheriff departments, appeal to their constitutional duty, their goodwill, and also the fact that they themselves are on the chopping block if they, enforce these orders. And ultimately, you need troops, you need legions to enforce these things. And if there's dissension in the ranks, and then the leaders become impotent, They're generals without troops, leaders without an army, and it's the legions that enforce the law. And that's how these things kind of melt down eventually. And that's it's again, we're in uncharted waters. Perhaps that's where they want us to be. It doesn't mean they'll get what they want. Again, we have to look at the political process. It's not at this point not even addressing things like the Great Reset, even though there various governors and mayors have referenced it with building back better or the new normal. And so maybe in 2021, the public will become increasingly aware as they extend COVID-19 hysteria, and it loses, I think, just going to lose more and more credibility within the public. Maybe they'll try to attempt to roll something else out, move on to another phase. It's hard to predict. But the idea that, wait a second, and there is a lot of talk about it, in the mainstream press now. Not, some the New York Times declaring a conspiracy theory, Time Magazine devoting an entire edition to it. So which is it? But the public, I think, at least the feeling I get is that more and more people are kind of aware that something is being planned. Again, it's hard to get that sort of this inchoate sense and form it into a meaningful political coalition and then action. That's what's difficult. It'd be easier if you had help from the top, but apparently we're not getting that, at least not at this point.
No, but I mean, it's we have enough information on the table that we can attempt to go through the exact process you talked about, whereby sheriffs, are probably one of the very first they because they a lot of them have already rebelled. So they're obvious. These people need to be contacted. What really needs to happen, and it is there is some of this going on actually. It's not all a dark world at this point. Is the independent world needs to organize. We need to recognize one another and to start organizing. Start like the sheriffs need to organize.
Well, here's a good sign is, Bill de Blasio has to have Times Square cleared so he can safely go out and dance with his wife.
Yeah, and that's an
Because he would have
excellent
been
point.
torn apart if there's a crowd there.
Yeah, he'd be torn limb from limb. And so that this is a sign that the public is waking up. It would just be I mean totally appropriate, but it would just be violence without a purpose. I mean, I just don't understand at this point how violence can be useful. Self-defense is always permitted, but really we have to be in a position where we're taking the moral high ground. And that's really going, will be established by the fact, well, we're not eating much food, so we have a moral high ground because of, but we need a way to get into the next tranche. Think about them intellectually. Think about the people who are like will be the next 5 million followers of the independent world. Think about where they are right now. How do we move them quickly to the sunlight? These are, we have a tremendous advantage, Tim, over the oligarchs in that we don't have to lie. This makes us seem sincere. And so people can pick up on that. What we need is just to get out of the comfort zones and to start the process of organization. Like I would recommend to every person that listens to us who is like in a religious organization to be contacting the leader, if there is such a thing, demanding clarification of that individual's position on all this. And if they are either feckless or seem like they're controlled, then immediately go into a revolutionary mode where you're just trying to take the organization over. Contact everyone inside it who may have some clear-mindedness and organize them at once. Say, look, this is what it's going to be like in 2 years. How are we going to get together and help ourselves, be strong in that period? So that's really what I would recommend over the next couple of weeks is don't I mean I what happens in Washington on Wednesday is it'll be what it whatever it's going to be. But in the meantime, the independent media, the information revolution has to get going. And what will happen on Wednesday can be used as a step, but I don't think there isn't enough energy control of the kind of new way of thinking in the MAGA group right now to have it do anything other than shoot itself in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, you could have us, like we're, it's getting to the point where lay people should form an organization and write a letter to the bishop saying either you do this or resign because you're obviously in bad faith. And,
And I wish we could get our hands on Vigano. I've tried to find a way to get a hold of him. I have not been able to have any. I mean, I hear he's in hiding, for
yeah,
heaven's sake.
it's.
So I guess that kind of rules that out. He's someone who could really help the. He could encourage like the Catholic side of it. I don't know. Sort of evangelical Christians or, I don't know that world very well. I don't have anyone that can help me get into it, but they should also be doing this right now. They should be going to, whoever it is that has some kind of authority and saying, look, let's get clear. Where do you stand on this? Where do you stand on the vaccine? Where do you stand on COVID? Where do you stand on the slave state that's coming down the pike? Where do you stand on resistance? How are we going to organize? What are you doing to organize us to be ready? And if they can't answer, the hell with them. We don't have time to waste. See if you can organize a rebellion. Because if all you end up with is 10% of whatever the congregation was 2 weeks ago that is prepared to fight and resist, you're well on your way. Trust me. Just that kind of a group coming into existence. I think you probably saw it, but there was a video that was circulating, and it was some restaurant owner in Oregon, and he was addressing a whole group of people,
Yes, I
and
saw
he
that.
was saying the time is now. And if you saw it, gosh, I wish I could have every person listen to this watch that, because that was the voice of American freedom and American resistance.
Yeah, I
Whoever
think
that guy is, I
it
don't know
can't,
who he
yeah, I think
was.
Oregon is the governor's Kate Brown, and she has like a lockdown until March.
But you see, he was saying we've got to be serious, and he actually said they're out to get us. He understood that this was a, this wasn't just mismanagement, stupidity. This was malevolence, and he had the passion and courage of which is just absolutely required of of beings that are being genocided, right? I mean, he had what it takes, and he said we've got to be serious. We have to continue to meet. We have to continue to organize. No one was wearing masks, incidentally, which was a great sign, and so there was courage. Well, if we had like if we can create 100,000 people like that guy, it's all downhill, Tim. Because believe me, that person will, I'm pretty sure he'll be able to create an organization that has the capacity to resist. He seemed to have the toughness, he seemed to have the dedication. And you see, he was out of his comfort zone. I mean, the guy is not a public speaker. He's not someone, I'm sure he's not, like a conspiracy. I don't know the guy, but I mean, he just seemed like a regular business owner. He talked about how he wanted to go back and mow his lawn. He used to do in the old days, That's where he's coming from. Well, okay, you want to get back to that world, you're going to have to fight your way back. Have to fight your way back. It isn't coming back. They've taken it, and they will not give it back.
No,
It only
it's going to
comes
be
back
clawed
if you
back,
stay.
unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, we have to claw it back. And so once we all realize that, once we realize that the COVID pandemic is fake, and that means it's never going to go away, once we realize that Biden stole the election in a way that's supposed to make us psychologically impotent. Once we see that all of this theatrical production that they're giving us as history right now is nonsense. It's all just designed to weaken us. We are clear-minded. We're just like that guy in Oregon. We're angry. We're ready to fight. We're ready to organize. And if you get tens of thousands of organizations with people like that, Tim, we're going to be a tough little nugget to get rid of.
It's also decentralized, so it can't be broken up at one, thing.
That's one of the great strengths, exactly. Well, see, this is the beauty of when you actually have the truth, when you have to lie, you need central organizations, but we can spring up everywhere. We
yeah, so I saw a video of a lady. She was like in a CVS drugstore, and I guess she's being harassed to wear a mask. She was just going off. She says, "No, I'm tired. I'm not going to do this anymore. This is ridiculous."
I saw that. She was just fantastic. She goes, "I'm over it. I'm done with it.
This is ridiculous. You all are insane. This is like mass psychosis." This is like, "I'm fine. How do you know?" She said, "Because I feel fine. It's ridiculous." She goes, "This is just insane." She goes, "Yeah. More people died in 2018 than 2020. What are you afraid of?" She's saying, "Look at the mortality rates. You know, it's just there's no pandemic. This is ridiculous."
Yeah, and the bureaucrat who had the mask on said, "Well, you know, wearing a mask is no imposition." Well, if it's no imposition, then I guess I don't have to wear it.
Yeah, if it's no big deal, then it's no big deal.
Yeah, let's just forget all that. So yeah, those videos are fantastic because they give a backbone to everyone who's thinking about standing up.
She said, "Call the police. What are they going to arrest me on? What law?"
Yeah.
Ask him, "What law are you arresting me on? What law?" You know, that's okay, trespassing, I suppose. I'm refusing to leave, but it takes people doing that, and unfortunately, again, you're not going to appeal to the good judgment or common sense or decency of the political leadership because obviously they're malevolent. You know.
Yeah, and you can develop momentum. I mean, when I take my walk along the beach at night. Like a couple of months ago, people were, hammering me on the mask thing. The mask Nazis, because in where I live, maybe like, I don't know, half or a third of people don't wear masks anyway. But whenever they did, I always just yelled at them,
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they don't even look me in the eye. They don't look me in the mask. They just they just keep their eyes down because you can intimidate them, because they don't really have, since they don't have the truth in back of them, they don't have real energy. They're just nanny, kind of the person who tattles to the teacher. You know, they just don't have that kind of righteous strength. They're easy really to break down. They have to be in a group. So, if we start getting it to be popular to stand up against them, I think we can easily, break apart some of this stuff. And, Tim, once we start, and we have started, I mean, where does it end? How can they ever put it back in the bottle?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
So, okay, Joe.
Tim, well, it's going to be quite an exciting week. What want to make any bets as to what we'll be talking about this coming Friday?
Any bets?
Yeah, I mean, like, what do you think? Is it
real cash? No.
Chaos or a Biden presidency? Well, what do you think?
I think it's going to – January 6th will I think there'll be a challenge. I don't think Pence is going to do that. I could be wrong, of course. I could be wrong about the Pence card. It could surprise us, of course. And there'll be ongoing litigation disputes all the way up to the 20th. So,
yeah, I agree. I think that's where we're at. It's going to – whatever happens on the 6th, which everyone is looking forward to some, this will be a big conclusion. I don't think it is. I think it'll just be, part of the
– The election was designed for all this to happen when they changed – broke all the laws – the mail-in balloting, the Dominion machines. This is all war game to the Transition Integrity Project.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were set up. They created an election that could not be reliably certified, and they certified it. So now we have a breakdown in confidence in the political system, legitimacy of the system. This might go to the long game or just sort of collapsing the political and economic order and ushering a great reset. We could be playing to their game for all I know.
Yep.
It doesn't mean you should stand up what's right and point at what's true. I mean, I'm just saying at each stage of the game, you can break out and, throw them a curveball and mess up their plans, which is what I'm hoping for.
Yes, me too. Well, anyway, thank you so much, Tim.
Okay, enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, you too. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.